You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Hey, welcome to Streams again. It's good to see everybody today. We've been going through this Nehemiah series for about 3 months, and we're kind of on the tail end of it now. We're coming to an end, but the past 3 weeks have kind of been tedious. And they've been tedious because the past 3 weeks we kind of started with this concept of an aha moment that you realize that there's a habit or there's something in my life that has been keeping me from making changes, from keeping me from going forward in my relationship with God. And then coming to a moment of saying, all right, I've got to make a covenant and we're going to reset this thing. And we're going to go forward with God, making a covenant to not make the mistakes of my past, to create a new legacy. And then last week, we had some people kind of share their own personal stories. We had Q&A kind of talking through some of that. But it's been a pretty tedious 3 weeks because, you know, for some of you, you've been kind of going, what's that? Maybe you had the aha moment. Maybe you had that kind of going, oh, wow, man, I need to put some safeguards in place. And you kind of been wrestling with that and you've been working through that over the past 2 weeks. And so we're moving into chapter 12, which is kind of a change of pace. We're skipping over chapter 11. If you want to go read all of the names in chapter 11, maybe over lunch today, you can do that. But it's a long list of names and it's basically the wall's been built. The city has been finished now. Everybody go settle in your respective towns. And so chapter 11 kind of walks through where every tribe, every clan, every person, all how they settled in this country. And so we move into chapter 12, and something incredible happens. But before we dive into that, I want to ask you the question. How well do you celebrate the wins? How well do you celebrate the wins in your life when something good happens, when something incredible happens? You know, as I've wrestled with this question this week, I realized this is kind of a convicting thing for me because in my own life, I'm a data analyzer, number cruncher, always trying to figure out what to do to make things better. And so I find that a lot of times in my life, I don't celebrate the wins. I don't celebrate when something good happens because I'm so focused on the not so good and how to make the not so good better. And I actually came across this quote that says, "The same focus that helps me get over hurdles and obstacles also makes me overlook the accomplishments." And so that same drive, that same just kind of tenacity to say, take a situation, okay, this is kind of where I fell, this is where I didn't do good. Maybe it's that aha moment of saying, this is kind of where things fell apart, or these are the habits or the things in my life that need to be fixed. That same drive to overcome that, to do better, to not do what I did the next time, the same drive that sometimes causes me to drive right past the moments where God shows up and does something incredible. And it's kind of like in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was awesome. Glad God did that. Now what do I have to fix? And so we get into this kind of rhythm sometimes, and part of it's our culture, because we're always trying to get ahead. I have a middle schooler now, and they actually bring home test grades and all of this stuff, and my middle schooler does really good at school. She brings home lots of A's, but there's that occasion where a test comes home and it's not quite like the others. And she's in this service, and now I'm talking about her. And, you know, and in that moment, it's like, well, what went wrong? Did you pay attention in class? Did you hear what they talked about? Why did you miss that one? You should have known all of this. Now let's talk about how to make this better. Let's figure out how to get a better grade on the next one. And then the tests that come in that are good, you're like, oh, good job. Happy for you, moving along. But because sometimes that's the mode we get into of this. We're always trying to focus in on, man, something tragic, something bad happened. How do I fix it? But then something amazing happens and we just blow right past it. And we don't take a moment to take that in and to wrestle with it and to celebrate what God is doing. As humans, we are built to naturally see the problems and easily punish ourselves for bad behavior. Poor performances are quickly condemned in our minds and guilt can rise to the surface. Our mindsets can bring us down when we feel that we failed, and this usually results in giving up on dreams and goals. And some of you over the past few weeks, you've had this aha moment and this kind of reset of what is the legacy that I'm creating. And you have these dreams and these goals. But then there's that moment where you fail. That moment where it doesn't work out. And it's so easy to get focused in on that. And then you miss the moment. You had the aha moment. God did something incredible in your heart. And we forget to celebrate it. And we lose out on the dreams and the goals that come with that. And we get focused on, man, I messed up again. I've got to fix this. But when God shows up on the scene and we focus on Him, man, He can do some incredible stuff. And it is worth celebrating. I like to call them God wins. I like to say, what are your God wins? What's God doing in your life that's so incredible, that's so amazing? What is God doing in your friend's life, in the person down the street, in the other person within the body of Christ? What is God doing in their life that's a God win, that is worth celebrating, that we need to take time out to say, man, God is awesome? And that's really where we find the Israelites, right here in Nehemiah chapter 12. They just finished building the wall. Everything's complete. All of the tribes are finding their place within the country and figuring out where they're going to live, and they're being placed, and everything is done. God has done this incredible work of restoring what was broken through His people. So we pick up in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. For the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremonies. They were to take part in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. And then there's a list of people that are coming to do this, because there's lots of lists of people in the book of Nehemiah. So I'm going to be skipping some verses here. Then in verse 30, the priests and Levites first purified themselves, then they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. This was such an important moment. This was such a big deal that they're literally walking around purifying the wall, the people themselves. They're getting it ready for this glorious celebration. Verse 31, I led the leaders of Judah to the top of the wall and organized two large choirs to give thanks. One of the choirs proceeded southward along the top of the wall to the dung gate. See up into verse 35, then came some priests who played trumpets. Woo! Some more people. Skipping to later on in verse 36, they used the musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Some more people. Verse 38, the second choir, giving thanks, went northward around the other way to meet them. I followed them together with the other half of the people along the top of the wall. And then in verse 40, the two choirs that were giving thanks then proceeded to the temple of God, where they took their places. Into verse 42, they played and sang loudly under the direction of Jezariah, the choir director. All right, it's hard for me to even picture what this looks like. But there's these two giant choirs, and they're starting at kind of jointly at one part of the wall, and then they're working their way around the wall, singing, praising God, playing trumpets, playing instruments. I mean, it's like, it's getting crazy. And they're going around and they're coming and they come all the way back to the temple. So they make this full kind of circle around the city, two choirs coming here, this place of celebration, excitement, joy. And then we find ourselves in verse 43, my favorite verse of this whole scripture. Many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. So this is what's happening. They're coming together, and there is this massive celebration. And some of you live in neighborhoods, and to kind of explain this a little bit, maybe to give you an idea, some of you live in neighborhoods and you have neighbors or people in your neighborhood that throw parties late at night while you're trying to go to sleep, and you're laying in bed and you hear thump, 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 and you're like, can you turn the music down? Like, this is what I'm picturing. Like, these people are throwing, I mean, this is a huge celebration, and the neighboring cities, the neighboring lands can hear what is happening in Jerusalem. They can hear the celebration that is going on of them raising up the praises to God and celebrating this massive undertaking of where God has taken them. And then not only that, and these aren't going to be on the screen, but the rest of that chapter, and starting in verse 44, talks about them resetting the storehouse for the tithes and the offerings. And they kind of came to this realization that we have neglected this giving. We have neglected giving back to the temple. We have neglected supporting the priests and the Levites and the singers and those that bring the party, that bring the celebration. We've neglected that. And so they talk through setting that back up, and people on this day are just coming and sacrificing and giving and being generous, and it's exciting. It's this huge deal that is happening in Jerusalem, celebrating what God has done. And as I was reading this, I started thinking about another story in the Bible. Flash forward to the New Testament. Jesus has gone back. The apostles and disciples are waiting in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit descends, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they go out and they start preaching about this God. And in that moment, 3,000 people get saved. They come into relationship with Jesus. In the latter part of Acts, it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And so I see these two stories in parallel. One moment in the Old Testament with the Israelites, God has restored everything that is broken. Another story in the New Testament where the disciples and the apostles, those that are following Jesus, things have been restored and there is celebration happening. They are coming together for worship. They are seeing the power of God happen. They are sharing life together. There is joy. There is generosity. They are celebrating what God is doing. And in both of these stories, I see a progression that happens when we celebrate. And the first of that is that celebration reminds us of who God is. You see, in this moment for the Israelites, they were celebrating what God had done. Not just what they had done, but what God had done. Because there's no way the wall would have been rebuilt. There's no way that this city would have been restored if it hadn't been for God. There was this incredible moment in their lives when they realized God is really who He says He is. He is powerful. He is almighty. He's a good Father. And they are celebrating and being reminded that that's the God we serve. You see, the work must be dedicated to Him for His glory. Otherwise, we may become proud and the work then becomes an idol that takes God's rightful place in our lives. You see, celebration puts honor where honor is due, and we celebrate what God is doing. Our God wins. You know, I asked her before service if I could share this since she was going to be here. I'm talking about you a lot today. But again, my daughter, we do a devotion together. And about a month ago, we were doing a devotion. It was talking about little foxes in your life, little things that kind of sneak in and, you know, whatever. And so we're talking through this, and we get to the end of the devotion. I go, So what are the little foxes in your life? And I mean instantaneously, because it was a moment where the Holy Spirit convicts and you come forward, and she goes, I know exactly what my little fox is. It's gossip. And I go to school, and people start talking about other people, and I'm in this environment, and I'm hearing them talk. And so I know I shouldn't, but I just join in because it's the thing to do, and it's there. And so we talk about it, we pray through, and then the next day she comes home from school and she goes, guess what? I was like, what? She goes, well, today at school, I was with my friends at lunch and they started talking about someone. And I realized what I needed to do, and I said, I can't talk about this, and I left the conversation. And we celebrated. And then we celebrated some more the next time it happened. And we kept celebrating because those are big deals. And sometimes we blow right past them because those are moments where God does something in our life. He changes something. Celebrate what God is doing. Put honor back on Him, thanking Him for what He does in your life. So celebration reminds us of who God is. And then it shows others who God is. So it reminds us, but then it shows others. You see, people take notice when we celebrate what God is doing. You know, I think about the surrounding cities of Jerusalem and the people that weren't a part of this, that they're hearing this celebration. They're going, what's going on? What are they so excited about? And then murmurs happen, and then they start, oh yeah, these are the Israel, and God rebuilt the city, and this is incredible, and man, look at what God is doing. And then I think about in Acts, where people are hearing what's happening and how God is doing these things, and they're just celebrating, they're living in joy, and there's something different about the way they are living because they're celebrating God. And it says daily people were added to their number because they were hearing and they were seeing celebration happen because of what God was doing, and people were coming in. You know, I was just talking to Josh between services, and yesterday we got to go over as a church to Luke Elementary, and we got to just serve the school. And it was so awesome to see that. And he was sharing with me a post that got put on our page of a parent that goes to Luke Elementary, just thanking our church for coming over and what they were doing. And we got to spend time at the end praying over the principal of Luke Elementary. And I think about how as we celebrate that, as we celebrate what happened down on 27th Avenue with the laundry outreach and this man coming to faith in Jesus Christ, as we celebrate those things, and we tell those stories, people take notice. And they don't just take notice of, wow, you guys are awesome. They take notice of, wow, the God that you serve is awesome, and He has changed your life, and it causes you to live like this. And we change perspective when we choose to celebrate. And so celebration shows others who God is, reminds us of who He is, and ultimately it motivates us and others to move forward. You see, because in this moment, they're celebrating, and all of a sudden they go, we got to get the whole storeroom and the tithe and the offering thing fixed because, man, we want to be generous. We want to give back. We want to do something. We want to just give of ourselves. The joy just becomes overwhelming, and they just move forward and do something about it. Because celebration isn't just about, yay. Celebration is about being moved through the joy of what God is doing and then doing something with it. And so they begin being generous. They begin giving. That was their moment when they chose to say, we're not just going to rah, rah, rah. We're going to actually give back. So it moves us forward in doing the things that God has called us to do. And so I think about just how beautiful this is. And how harmful it is when we are moving forward and we're constantly critiquing and trying to figure out what needs to be made better, and how harmful it is when we miss out on celebrating what God is doing. And that's why Sunday mornings worship at Streams is so important, because this is a time every week that we get to come together as the body of Christ and worship and celebrate what God is doing. And here's the truth of the matter. Every week, there are people that walk into this room in the midst of celebration, and you have nothing in your life personally that you feel like you can celebrate. And you're watching other people celebrate, but you're in a dry season, you're in a moment, and you're going, I don't have anything to celebrate in this moment. But there's something that happens that even in spite of that, we choose to celebrate. Even in spite of this moment where we can hone in and go, things aren't too celebratory in my life right now, but I recognize what God is doing in your life. I recognize what God is doing in the body of Christ, and we take the moments to celebrate that. And we offer up praise, we offer up worship. And there's some simple ways that you can do this on an ongoing basis. If you enjoy writing, if you like to put things down on paper, I encourage you, go get a little jar. We're going to call this the jar of awesome. And every day, God does something, write down a piece of paper and throw it in the jar. And then every once in a while, dump the jar out and read through what God's doing and then celebrate with someone. If you have a journal, start writing down what God is doing. When something happens, celebrate that. Obviously, coming here for worship, worshiping with other people, spending time offering that praise to God, turning moments that are ordinary into celebratory moments, like going out on a date with your wife and turning that into a celebration. I remember a moment in our life. We were living in Illinois, and there was not a lot in our life to celebrate. Just situations had happened, and things were going on, and there just wasn't much to celebrate. And I remember the night, because we went out to Starbucks, and we shared a coffee, because that was all we could afford. And we sat, and we drank, and we shared this coffee, and we talked about what God was doing. And we took a moment to celebrate some of the things that God was doing in our life. And then I remember we walked out of Starbucks and we were walking to our car, and these random strangers walked up to us and they said, "I feel like I'm supposed to give you this." They handed us a $100 bill. Now we're like really celebrating. Now we can actually go buy two drinks at Starbucks because we had $100. So, but it was in this moment for us that we said, we're going to choose to celebrate even when things aren't necessary celebratory. But finding those moments, and then I think about through my life, some people ask me when they get in my truck, I have this little collection of trinkets on my rearview mirror. And they're trinkets that I've just kind of collected over the years through youth and children's ministry. Different kids or different youth that I've had an impact in their life, and God has done something incredible, and have a whistle, a little necklace thing, another little thing, some other little things. And then they're just kind of all around my rearview mirror there. And every once in a while, I just look at those. And it's in those moments that God reminds me of who He is. And I continue to celebrate what God has done in the lives of the people that I've been able to journey with in life. And so learning how to celebrate. Learning how to take time out to thank God, to put honor where honor is due, and allow that celebration to remind us of who He is, to show others who He is, and to move us down the road in doing the things that He's called us to do. So worship team comes. I want to encourage you this week. How can you celebrate? What can you celebrate? And at the end of this service, we're going to sing the song that we opened with today, "You Are Good." And here's what I want you to do. I want you to be very intentional about how you sing this song. I want you to maybe think of something that God has done in your life recently, a place that you have to celebrate. I want you to look to your left and your right and to your front and to your back and see the people sitting around you. And maybe you know a story of something that God has done in their life. I want you to think on that. I want you to look across the room. I want you to see someone else in the room that maybe you know a story about something that God has done in their life. I want you to think on that. I want you to think about the things that as a church that we've been doing and we've been seeing and the things that God has done. I want you to think on that. And then I want you to sing this song. I want it to get inside of you. And I want you to sing these words saying, "God is good. I'm going to celebrate what He is doing." And then, when you're done singing the song, I want you to go out to the back patio. I want you to get some nachos. And while you're eating some nachos, I want you to talk to some people and celebrate what God is doing. Tell some stories. Share with each other. We're just going to take a moment to celebrate as a family. So why don't you stand today? And let's do this together. Here we go.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.